This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor super fan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. We are going to bounce back and forth between Kansas, Missouri. We're also going to get you covered for the rest of the day's action in the NCAA tournament. You don't need to go anywhere. Keep it right here on 96.5 The Fan. This is what we'll do. Coming up after Brian Haney, Rob, if you can, I'd like for you to give people an update on the scores. Maybe people missed it. We'll do that. We'll also take a look at this afternoon's game. So we're kind of winding down, I guess, the first game of the session. We're transitioning to the second game of the session. We'll do all that coming up in a bit. But let's head to Providence right now to be joined by the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, friend of the show, Brian Haney, getting you ready for tonight's action between the Jayhawks and the Razorback. Brian, happy to have you on the show. You have called games in March Madness. You've called games in Allen Fieldhouse. You called games at the T-Mobile Center for the Big 12. What is it like to call March Madness? What is it about March that makes it so special?
I'd like to think our preparation is the same because we treat every game, whether it's a directional school in early November or the end of the season run like this, with the same amount of preparation and detail. But the vibe, the energy, the excitement is different. The pageantry, just walking around the event site. Yesterday, I was in line at a CVS, and an old man in a wheelchair and I struck up a conversation, and it took me 2 minutes to realize I was talking to Gene Cady, the legendary Purdue Boilermakers coach, a Larned Kansas native, former K-State Wildcat player, and we had the best conversation ever, and you just never know who you're going to run into this time of year, especially this year up here in Providence. The fact that you've got Pitino, Calipari, and Self all in the same little pod here, it feels like a Elite Eight Final Four type grouping, and all the fan base's excitement and the way those fans have kind of descended upon this area, it makes for a different kind of vibe and energy you can't get at any other point of the year.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joining us on the show today, getting you ready for their matchup coming up later tonight against the Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm sure by now you watched a handful of Arkansas games. You guys also got to see them earlier in the year in one of those exhibition preseason matchups. What do you notice about Arkansas? What stands out when you watch them?
They're fast. They're explosive. They've got athletes that, you know, had they played together the full season and been blessed with good fortune on the health front, this would absolutely be, you know, a 4 or 5 seed, not a 10 seed. This would be a team, and still could be, that makes a run to the Elite Eight. When we left Fayetteville in October, and we had just seen them, I don't want to say dismantle, but they beat us pretty dang good without Hunter Dickinson, without Rylan Griffin, without Shaquille Moore. You took it with a grain of salt because KU was missing 3 of their 9 rotational pieces, but you also kind of said to yourself, whoa, these guys are fast, they're quicker than us, they're stronger than us at the guard spots. We didn't know what to compare the post to because Hunter didn't play, and Florey at that time probably weighed 210 pounds, and so you didn't really know what to compare the interior to, but I thought to myself, these guards are better than us, and it's significant. Zeke didn't look good in the game. DeJuan scored a ton, but Boogie Flan torched us on the other end. DJ Wagner's a top five overall player from a year ago when he was at Kentucky, consensus five-star recruit. And I said it on the post game. Arkansas, to me, looks like a top 10 team. This might be a collision course in the Elite Eight or the Final Four if these two teams have the type of seasons they're capable of. Obviously, for Kansas, it's not been that. Highly inconsistent in February. It took us over a month to win back-to-back games. We went 5-7 in a 12-game stretch after blowing the lead twice versus Houston at home at the end of regulation and the end of the first overtime. And we did some very un-Kansas-like things. And I know you were keeping a close tab on it as Mr. Mizzou over there, and I respect you a ton, my man. But it was an atypical year for us. And obviously that included a loss in Columbia on the same week that we lost in Omaha at Creighton. And before that, we'd been undefeated and number one ranked, and you started to kind of see some holes, and you started to see some inconsistencies that could lead to disappointment. And that's certainly what this season has been. But now you get to March, and we're much healthier than we were the first time we faced Arkansas. We're a team that I think has had a couple of, maybe three, key pieces really have a sustained uptick of late. And I'm talking about Hunter Dickinson the last 3 weeks of the regular season when he was averaging 23 a game, and he's had double-doubles in seven of his last eight. I'm talking about Zeke Mayo that's had three straight games of five-plus threes made. Now can he truly take the show on the road? Because his first eight games of the season with five-plus threes were all in Allen Fieldhouse. His next two were in what we like to think is Allen Fieldhouse East at T-Mobile. Can he do it away from home? We'll find out. And I think KJ Adams over the last 3 or 4 weeks has been a different guy in terms of the all-out energy and just, you know, leaving it all out on the floor. I know that sounds cliche, but I've never seen a player empty his bucket with the want to, as Roy Williams used to say, more so than KJ has of late. And that's led to more defensive rebounds, which is always a criticism of his from the fan base. He's looked like a more impactful player as the energy tone setter. So to me, there's reasons to have hope. But there's also reasons for fear and trepidation, because the same concerns we had back in October when Arkansas looked so much more athletic and explosive on the perimeter remain 5 months later. And that'll be something I'm looking at of paramount importance here tonight.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, getting you ready for their matchup coming up later tonight against the Arkansas Razorbacks. You know, coaching rivalries are such a foundation of college basketball. This is actually the 14th matchup between John Calipari and Bill Self. How have you seen that rivalry grow over the years? Because it was in Memphis for the national championship. It was in Kentucky for the national championship. And now John Calipari is on a different school. He is now at Arkansas.
Yeah, it's been interesting to watch the dynamic of their relationship. Two former KU GAs under Larry Brown. They crossed paths briefly. They weren't synced up perfectly in their time on the Kansas campus, but they go back to the mid-80s because of Coach Brown. And then, you know, to see the history you talked about, two national title games, one of which KU wins in San Antonio, the other KU loses in New Orleans. High-level ball played between these two, and then they started playing each other almost every year between the Champions Classic and the Big 12 SEC Challenge, and trips to Lexington and Lawrence became a regular thing between these two. And, you know, I think you could call it a friendship. Certainly Calipari described it as such yesterday. He said it's tough to play somebody you respect so much and you have a genuine friendship with because you're trying to beat each other's brains out, and then you'll feel bad about it for about 12 seconds after the game, and then you have to move on. Bill has called it a friendship, but he also joked the other day, it's not like Cal has him on speed dial or anything. But what I have noticed of these two that are very friendly and very respectful of each other and their respective careers is that when they've had a chance to collaborate on something, they've done a lot of it. And they get together and did this when Cal was at Kentucky many times. If we were playing in Lexington or they were playing in Lawrence, the night before there was some kind of charity dinner with a significant price point per head to be in the room, and they're raising money for various philanthropic organizations. They did something similar back in October in Fayetteville the night before the exhibition game. So I do think that it's a friendship. I don't think it's a, you know, best friendship or anything like that, but they like each other. They certainly respect each other, and obviously they've played for the highest of stakes against one another with very similar results. So we're looking forward to seeing another version of that. It's just so rare to see them playing in a round of 64 game instead of a Monday night in April.
Right now, we're talking to the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney. Brian, who do you consider to be the X factor for KU if they're going to make a run? Because one topic that Rob and I discussed is, in March, there's always going to be that team that's seeded a 6 or a 7 seed from a major conference that was kind of up or down, and they just figure it out at the absolute right time. They play 3 great games. Next thing you know, you look up and you find yourself in the Elite Eight. Why couldn't that be Kansas? Why couldn't that be a team like Arkansas that obviously has the talent? We obviously know in order for KU to advance, you need Hunter to play well. You need DeJuan Harris to play well. You need KJ Adams. Who's that other player where if KU is going to go on a run, they're going to have a phenomenal next couple of days?
It's a complicated answer because so many things have to go right for Kansas. But if you ask me to boil it down to just one guy, and I was asked a similar question about 2 weeks ago, and I said heading into our senior day, man, if one guy could just have a good game and get his swagger back and just see where it might take him, I sure hope Zeke Mayo can find the bottom of the net and get his confidence back and get on a roll. And sure enough, 3 straight games of 5-plus threes. He's now switched up the haircut, by the way. You'll notice it when you see him take the floor tonight. He's going all out in the wake of, you know, what happened 3 weeks ago with the social media criticism and the tweet he put out, screenshotting a lot of the hate he was receiving after the Texas Tech game. And I think he's a man on a mission now. And he's kind of taken on a different persona and you know, keeping a tight huddle, and he's locked in. And I think he's the type of guy that if he can shoot with that kind of consistency, as we all know, many times advancing in March comes down to guard play and shot making. It's so paramount for this Kansas team, though, because if you don't have viable three-point options because DeJuan and KJ are not guys you have to guard extended to the perimeter, defenses can really clamp down around Hunter and make life suffocating for him in the post. So it's so important that Zeke and Ryland have consistent 3-point threes going in for Kansas, but particularly Zeke, because he's been your most reliable high-volume guy. He's your second leading scorer, now 10 games of 5-plus threes. If you wanted to ask for a second X factor, give me Zeke every game, but then give me some shooter du jour combination of Diggy, Ryland, and AJ. And it doesn't matter if it's consecutive games or if it's a different guy every night, but you need that second option to step up and deliver. And they've all given us glimpses of that. I mean, AJ gave us 19 points in the first Big 12 tournament game last week versus UCF. We remember the 5 3-pointer game that Ryland Griffin had versus Houston the first time we faced them. And certainly Diggy's had several big moments over the last month and a half in Big 12 play, showing that, hey, he may be closer to 5'8 than he is 5'11, but he's got the heart of a lion and he's not afraid to get up shots. And so give me Zeke as the X factor every night. And if the X factor doesn't show up, we could go home tonight. But also put a caveat in there that if they really want to go far, you need somebody from that other trio of shooters to step up each night. Could be a different guy each night, but you got to have that supporting cast help. That'll make life so much easier in spacing the floor and letting Hunter feast in the interior, though that is certainly easier said than done against some very obvious length and athleticism in the interior that Arkansas will present tonight. And if you're lucky enough to advance and it's St. John's, oh my, Zubi Ejiofor, the former Jayhawk, versus Hunter Dickinson. St. John's, the number one defensive team in America, according to KenPom, versus Kansas. That would be a ton of fun on Saturday afternoon.
Brian, last thing here, and we appreciate your time. To me, today's matchup seems very, very simple. As somebody who has seen Kansas in person 4 separate times this year, and I watched a lot of SEC basketball, this matchup to me comes down to Hunter Dickinson against Big Z from Arkansas. If Hunter Dickinson plays like an All-American and has 24 and 10 today, I think that Kansas wins that game. And I actually think there's enough length and size on KU to actually stand up against Arkansas. If Big Z can do a decent job of neutralizing Hunter Dickinson and taking away one of KU's primary scoring options, then I think Arkansas wins. I think this game is a coin flip, but I actually think that KU is going to win. I think KU is a better team than Arkansas.
I think they are too, but I've also seen us you know, on enough nights where shots weren't falling or Hunter came out and got off to a 1-of-6 start and wasn't able to rebound, or Zeke for that matter misses his first couple, and suddenly that rim gets smaller. And next thing you know, we're clawing out of a 12-point deficit quicker than you could say rock chalk. I've never seen a Kansas team have to play from behind more than this group. So I think a fast start is imperative. I think on the other end, and I love what you said about the matchup in the post, on the other end, how does Kansas stop the ball? How do they slide their feet and stay in front of Boogie and Wagner and all these explosive guards? That's the matchup nightmare for me, and that's where you hope somebody like DeJuan Harris, who can be a little Jekyll and Hyde at times. We saw him in 2023 be the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, but other times against more explosive, quick, physical guards, at times it can be an issue. And we saw Boogie take it to us pretty good in that exhibition game, and Wagner can certainly do the same. What does Kansas do to stop some of that elite-level scoring on the perimeter? Nelly, another guy, Davis from the great run that FIU had a few years back, he'll be a guy you have to contest with as well. So you got a lot of guard options that concern me. But if Vucic versus Dickinson, Tosin, Adu, Tennessee transfer, and then your man from Missouri has been a different kind of force the last few weeks. I'm talking about Trevin Brazil. I think he brings some athleticism and length and an extra scoring punch of late that Calipari's turned to of late that makes them much more dynamic as well. So keep an eye on him, too, as a real difference maker in this matchup tonight.
Brian, you know I'm a big fan of yours. You only said one thing incorrect this entire time. Brazil is not a player that we claim at the University of Missouri. We let him go a long time ago. That is the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joining us on the show today. Brian, don't tell anybody, but you are one of my favorite people, even though you are the voice of the Kansas Jayhawks, man. I appreciate your time.
I feel the same about you, buddy. Nothing but love and respect. I always love it when we get to cross paths in person, and it's a special invite any chance I get to come on your show. So thank you for saying that. Sorry I got that wrong on Brazil. We will strike that from the official record.